Hi, my name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show. First and foremost, I want to thank you for tuning in. There are so many podcast options out there, and I'm truly honored that you've chosen to spend a little bit of your day with me. Today, I am so excited to have Kaylee Togas on the show to talk more about human design. Because there are so many layers to human design in this episode, we will just be discussing the energy types, their strategy, signature, and the not self theme for each. If you're wondering what the heck I'm even talking about, then this podcast episode is going to be perfect for you. If you're brand new to human design, I suggest going back and listening to a podcast episode from a few weeks ago that I did with Madeline Evergreen, where she explains the basics of what human design is and how we can work with our design to live a more aligned and abundant life. I will be doing a series of interviews with human design experts over the next few months, covering all different aspects and topics. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss even one of these juicy episodes. Now on to today's episode. Kaylee Togas has served over 300 clients within 2 years, holding a level 3 certification in human design. Her expertise is not just in coaching. It's in transformation through the dream method of subconscious reprogramming that harmonizes business awareness with life's purpose. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, Kaylee.
Hi, Kelly. I'm so excited to be on here today. Anytime I get a chance to geek out over human design, I take that opportunity as I feel like it's just like a natural part of my life now.
Oh, it's so fun. And we were talking about this before I hit record, but I have been absolutely obsessed with human design. I have been devouring every single thing I can. So it's really exciting for me to get to sit with experts like yourself, because you guys are teaching me as I do these podcast episodes, which is just like an amazing honor. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I always like to start by asking my guests the same question, just to give my audience a little bit more information about you outside of that little short bio. So can you start by telling us a little bit about your journey and what brought you to be so interested in human design?
Absolutely. So I was at this point in my job that I needed to find something new, and I was on a grant job. And so the grant was running out. And my husband sat me down. He's like, "You're not made for corporate." And I was like, "Oh, you're right. Like, I'm not. Like, I'm one of those people that pushes the limits." And so I found myself in this peculiar place of like, what am I going to do next in my life? And what am I going to be when I grow up? And all those fun things. And so I found myself going down the hole of coaching. And it's something I felt like I had done before. It just wasn't named that way. And through my coaching certification, she had this small, like little hour session of the basics, very, very basic level of what human design was. And I sat there and like broke out in tears because I felt seen, I felt heard, and I felt like there was nothing wrong with me for like the first time in my life. And when we got back on the plane and we were headed home, my husband looked at me, he's like, "What are you doing?" I was on Amazon ordering all these books. It was just like this thing. And you, like, I have no doubt you understand what I'm talking about, because if you get obsessed with human design, the next thing you know, you're ordering books and you're doing all these things with it. And that's really where I was. And as the books arrived and I dove deeper and deeper, I was like, I just need to get certified in this. This is something I need to take into my coaching practice. This is something that I love. And it wasn't just me. It was my kids. Like, I learned my youngest son was a projector. It's a common thing I talk about because I'm a manifesting generator, and finding out he was a projector was like this mind-blowing moment also of like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to raise my child to be a manifesting generator instead of a projector. And so there was just so many aspects of it that just made me really fall in love with it and realize that it was one of those modalities that I really wanted to use.
Oh my gosh. I can relate to, first of all, everything you said, but especially the part about feeling seen. I myself experienced that, and so many people that I've talked to have expressed that same sentiment of like, finally, and also this self-acceptance piece, right? Because I'm also a projector, and I came from a family of generators and manifesting generators who had a lot more energy than me, and to no fault of their own, but there was always this label put on me from a very young age of I'm lazy, or, you know, these jokes like, well, Kelly, she's not real high energy. You know what I mean? And always seeing like other people be able to do so much, and this frustration of like wanting that kind of energy. And then thinking, as you said, like, there's something wrong with me. Like, why can I not show up in this way? Why do I need so much downtime? And when I started learning about my energy type, it almost like gave me permission to fully accept myself on a whole new level. Now, obviously, as a shadow work coach, I do a ton of work around self-acceptance. But like I said, it was like a whole new level, because it was a whole new level of understanding about myself. And it was so resonant. And the same thing with me. Like, as soon as I got into it, I was like, I have to know more. And I started devouring everything I could. And I think that's so relatable for so many of us. And it's one reason I just love human design, because it really encourages us to just accept what is correct for our design. And as you said, you were trying to do with your kids, like, not expect other people to live according to our design. Let people be them, and you're allowed to be you. And I love that aspect of it. So going into what we're talking about today, some people might already be listening and they're like, what the heck are you guys even talking about? Because we're talking about energy types. We talked about that not self theme, the strategy, and the signature. So what do kind of each of these elements represent in the chart, I guess, is the best way I can think to phrase that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our energy type is really, how do we use our energy throughout the day to get the best out of it? I always say it's like our blissful spot. And that's really what energy type is. An energy type is made up of those other things we just mentioned. So under the energy type is like a subcategory, is kind of how I like to say it, of your signature, your not self theme, and your strategy. And so strategy is, it's how do we call in our abundance? How do we, you know, interact with other energy types? How do we do that type of thing? That is our strategy that helps us out. And then our signature is our most aligned spot. And this is a feeling or sensation in our body. And it's just like, lets us know that we're on the right track, that the universe or higher power is throwing these things in front of us, and we are reacting to those in the most blissful way for ourselves. And then our not self theme is really tells us we're out of alignment, or we're doing something that's not correct for us. I always love to say, though, because the not self theme can kind of get skewed from time to time, and it's not a bad thing. It actually is a really good thing, because we're not always going to be in alignment. We're not 100% going to sit in this spot of blissfulness. And the only way we know that we are doing something incorrect for us is that not self theme. So one of my things is, I always love to talk about the not self theme in more positive light, because I think sometimes it can get skewed as this like negative thing and we're never supposed to be there. However, that's not true.
Yeah. And I can definitely attest to that, just coming from a shadow work perspective, is that we are supposed to experience a full range of emotions and energies, or else what the heck are we doing in this human experience anyways, right? It all serves a purpose. Awesome. So let's get into the good stuff. Let's go into some more detail. What are the different energy types and kind of strategy for each and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so I always love to start with generators because to me, the world society can really relate to a generator energy, because it's kind of how our world is set up is around this generator energy. And so generators create this yummy, juicy energy that overflows out of them and overflows into other people. We like to say that they're sacral. And so that sacral energy is like this powerhouse energy that really just keeps our world moving in essence. A lot of people love to say they're a workforce of society. I love to change that up and say they define work, and work is really their purpose, their passion, their fire inside of them. And it's so important for generators to be able to be in that spot of saying yes to the things they love and no to the things they don't want to do. Because when they say yes to no's, this is where their not self-esteem of frustration comes in and shows up and rears its head. So they'll go to the party or they'll go to help somebody out and there'll be an absolute frustration while they're there, and they're not going to create that juicy sacral energy. For generators, it's really about responding, and responding is their strategy. And I have a lot of generators like, you just want me to sit around and do nothing? I'm like, no. Responding is a spot where we listen and we look and we observe the world around us and see what is put in front of us in that aspect. So are you hearing common themes? Are you seeing common themes? Are there things coming up in your life that are like are repeated that allow you to respond to that in an aspect that then moves you in that direction? You also get the option to respond and say no to something. And that's another thing that is so important because generators really love to say yes. They've been what we call conditioning in human design is kind of like the world's the way society or someone else has told us to be. And they have a tendency to be told like, you should say yes to things, you should do these things, kind of people pleasing tendencies. And so for them, the most empowering part for them is when they start to say no and really step into that. And that frustration shows up with that not self. And that can show up from saying yes to no's, but it also can show up from something as simple as, writing with the wrong pen, picking the wrong coffee cup to drink out of, like little things like that. So going back to simple things is the key for them and really engaging that sacral gut sensation response for them.
So, what are the other energy types? What's next?
Yeah, so I go to manifestors. Manifestors are our trailblazers of society. They are the ones that are made to move and shake and really push our society in a different direction. And the biggest thing for manifestors is informing. That is their strategy. And so really it's telling people what they're doing, but not asking the like asking permission for that. So really saying, hey, I'm going to do XYZ and going and doing it, not asking that permission. The reason I say that is, again, people-pleasing tendencies really come in strong for manifestors as they have this big, bold presence about them. And with that big, bold presence, there's going to be people that absolutely love them and want to be with them all the time. And there's going to be people that come in and out of their life depending at where they're at in their journey at that point. And so their aligned spot is peace. They feel absolute, wonderfulness about them. And when they're in that not self theme, it is anger. And I always love to say that if you have a child that's a manifestor, anger comes out as that like blazing red hot anger. Typically with adults, it shows up in many other ways. It's not typically that like red hot anger. It can be annoyance per se. And so there's so with manifestors, really it comes down to they need the control, they need what they want. And not control in like, I always love to say this, not control in a way of like, wah, ha, 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 I'm gonna control the world, right? It's like this control that gives them that peace that comes in. And so finding those little aspects of control that they can have if their world is turned upside down can help them.
I've heard two manifestors described as starters, like they're here to start things, but not necessarily to finish things, right? Is that correct?
It is. So they're really made to like get this urge surge of energy and then move with that urge surge of energy. And so what can happen is the energy runs out. That's their time to hand it off to the other energy types to complete it, but they'll hold on tight to it and then they get even more exhausted. And so manifestors, they're considered an energetic energy type. However, I don't classify them into like the sacral part because it's a different type of energy. And they only have energy about 20% of the time. And the other 80% is made to really like relax and take in and hone in on their skills and be by themselves and let the greatness happen.
So I do have another question about this. Do manifestors have access to their own energy, like a generator or a manifesting generator, or are they like projectors and reflectors where we don't have access to our to inner energy?
Yeah, so we have different centers inside of our human design that are called motor centers. The sacral is like the powerhouse motor center, but we also have three other centers that create energy. And those three centers, one of those has to be connected to what we call the throat center for a manifestor. So they create some sort of energy with that, but the urge and surge of energy they get is kind of like this like push from the universe, higher power of like, here's your energy to go do what you need to do. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. And anyone listening who's curious, as we're kind of like talking about these energy centers, if you've ever looked at your chart and you see those like squares and triangles, and some are colored in and some are not, and they have all these channels and stuff coming from them, those are the energy centers we're talking about. And there are just, seems like there must be millions of possibilities for individual charts and so many different combinations. So like I said, it does get pretty like layered talking about human design. Awesome. So what about a generating manifestor? So you're kind of combining the both of them, and you mentioned that's what you are.
Yeah. So a manifesting generator is a hybrid generator. So they create that sacral juicy energy, like we talked about with generators. Between manifesting generators and generators, they make up 70% of our population. And so this is why I always say like our population really understands that sacral generator energy type, because that's how our society is set up for. And so the other part of them being hybrid is they have manifestor aspects or manifestor qualities within them also. And so they're really made to create this difference in the world, in the aspect of they're not made to take the path that's always traveled. They're the ones that take the dirt road and want to see things from a different lens. They're not made to be linear in life. So, you know, finishing high school, going to college, getting married, getting the job, having the babies, staying at a job for 30 years. If you're a manifesting generator, that probably makes you want to like vomit a little bit in your mouth, because it's like, that does not sound good to me. Like they really want to move and shake. And a common thing I have asked from manifesting generators is like, I love my job. I've been there for 20 years. Am I missing something? It's like, no, but are you jumping around in different positions in that job? And they're like, oh yeah, like I've done this and this and that. I'm like, perfect. It's a perfect atmosphere for you then as an individual. And so, but it really is about changing it up, doing things differently, and not getting stuck in this, like, I have to finish everything I start, because manifestors are not made to finish everything they start. They're made to start something, use it to the point that it gives them what they need, and then move on. And when we talk about their different things, so when we talk about their strategy is responding just like generators. They're going to respond to things with a little bit of aspect of informing. So manifesting generators, when they want to say yes to something, they'll like literally start walking towards it without telling the person, yes, I want to do that. They'll just like get up and start moving, which can be hard for others. Or they'll say no, you'll see them step back. That is definitely there for them. When it comes to their signature, it's satisfaction. And satisfaction to them is just like this blissful spot, this place of like contentment. It feels like when they crawl into bed at night that everything was done and completed for them. And then their not self-esteem is frustration with a little bit of that anger that can come in. And the reason I say a little bit is that manifestor side really comes out for manifesting generators when it's stuff about them as an individual. And I always love to explain it. Like I'll get up some mornings on a Saturday and I'm like, oh, I'm going to bake cookies. I'm going to do it right now. That is totally my manifestor side coming out versus responding to my kids saying they want cookies.
Yeah. And I have heard that a lot of manifesting generators struggle if they don't really understand that aspect of their design about starting a lot of stuff or moving around, because they get this idea that maybe they don't ever finish anything and like that's a bad thing, or they're looking down like, oh, I start all these things, or I can't stick with one thing. Because what I've kind of come to understand is that manifesting generators are meant to have a lot of different interests and kind of move from one interest to another. But I've also heard along the way of all the reading and stuff I've been doing that it can cause some confusion if they don't understand why, and almost some negative feelings about self because of it that are formed, and some negative limiting beliefs and stories around that.
Yeah, so manifesting generators really, I always love to explain it like a juggler. So like the rest of us are juggling, four balls at a time, and that's kind of where we keep ourselves, and we're doing fine with that. Manifesting generators have a tendency to have like 8 or 10 balls as they're juggling, and that's where it becomes hard for them. And so what I always say is like rate your what you're doing, the 10 different things that you're doing right now on a scale of 0 to 10, and anything above a 5 is really where you want to be. And the things closer to 10 is really what you want to be working on for that day, that week, something like that. If you're a lot of your stuff is under a 5, those are things that aren't going to light you up, aren't going to give you that spot of satisfaction, and you're going to find a lot of frustration coming in. And so that's really key, is really doing those things that light them up in that moment and realizing it's okay to walk away from something. You'll come back to it at some point. It may be 6 years from now, it may be 6 months from now, but at some point you'll pick the book back up, or you'll start painting again, or you'll finish the craft, whatever it may be. But it is really hard in a society that says you need to finish everything you start. And this is something we hear even as a child, like you start a sport, you got to finish it. Or think of anything else there, right? And so that's a big thing I tell parents is, if you have a child that's a Manny Gen and they're just done with what they're doing, allow them to be done, because that shows them it's okay to walk away.
Just imagine if every parent had this information, how it would radically shape the way we parent. I wish I would have known this stuff when my kids were younger, because it definitely would have made a big difference on how I approached each of them for sure.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about projectors, which is what I am. I'm a projector, as I kind of mentioned. So tell me a little bit about projector energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you went to projector next, because that's the next one on my list and like in my order in my head. And so, yeah, so the best way I always love to kind of describe projectors, and I go back to Winnie the Pooh. And at some point, I'm going to not be able to use this analogy again, because there's going to be people that aren't going to understand that. And so, but if you remember back to watching Winnie the Pooh, and there was the old wise owl that sat up in the tree that knew like all this amazing information. And the other characters in Winnie the Pooh, whenever something happened or something was exciting or they needed advice, they needed guidance, they would go over to the owl and they would ask the owl for his advice. And the owl would give out this amazing advice that the other characters would just get so excited about, and it would solve their problems or make things easier for them. And for a projector, they're really that owl up in the tree. They are able to guide people and tweak things and see things from this different lens. The big thing is they need to wait for people to come to them. And that's their strategy, is waiting for the invitation. So just like in Winnie the Pooh, when the characters came to the owl, they listened. And it's the same thing for projectors when we talk about moving through this world, is really waiting. I love to say this though, is that waiting for the invitation doesn't mean an actual verbal invitation. It can be verbal, physical, or energetic. And what I mean by that is sometimes people just walk up to you, and as they're walking up to you, you can just see by their physical body, they're open, they want to hear what you have to say. That's your invitation. It could be a matter of energetically, if you have the ability to feel what other people are giving you for senses and stuff, you can energetically feel that they want to hear more, they want to hear what you have to say. And so I think sometimes projectors can get hung up in the fact that they feel like it has to be that verbal invitation, and it doesn't always have to be that exact way. So the aligned place for them is success, and it's this very blissful, happy contentment is kind of what I hear from my clients, of just kind of this overarching like, oh my gosh, they listened to me. Oh my gosh, they wanted my advice. Like, they just get so excited when they have somebody that really engages with them, because they wait for that invitation. And the not self theme is bitterness. And that bitterness is something almost every projector knows spot on. When I say bitterness, they're like, oh yeah, totally know where that is. And what I see most common is that invitation isn't there and they're speaking before it. And so for projectors, it really is like throughout the day, what fascinates you? What like gets you excited? Those types of things that are really leading you in the direction that you need to go. And it's not feeling like you have to, in essence, be in that generator energy of I need to do to create. It's more about being to create. And, I work with a lot of business owners, and I always tell them the moment that they can shift their mind from exchanging their time for money and shift it into exchanging their what they're what they're giving to people for their money, their worth, that like that type of thing, that's when the magic happens. And it truly does. I work with tons of projectors for some reason. I can't tell you why I attract them in, but I do. And it really is that blissful spot of being able to create and have fun and do the things that really fascinate them.
Mm-hmm. I definitely can relate to the bitterness. Anytime things aren't necessarily going my way. And also, it's so relatable, and it's something I'm really learning, even just in everyday conversation, to say things like, I have some insight, would you care to hear? Or asking for that invitation so people have the option of saying, actually, no, I just want to be heard right now. I just want space held. Like, I don't really need any input. And that's definitely something that, until I've really started learning about this, I've struggled with, and it really frustrates the living crap around everyone around me, because it's kind of like, if you come to me to vent, and I always say this, I'm not a good space holder. I'm not, go find someone. There's tons of space holders out there, but that's just not what my gift is. It is almost torture for me to listen to someone vent. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, well, this, and this, or if you do this, or you apply this, you're going to see results. And it's like, I just, it almost like kills me to not be able to do that. And so I always tell people, look, like, I'm not a good space holder. I'm very action-based. Like, I will be able to put you on a plan like this fast to like get you back on track. But if you're looking for someone just to listen, then it's probably going to be torture for me, just so you know, because I want to interject so much. And it is frustrating at times when you feel like you're not being listened to, I guess, or people aren't hearing me. And then I see them continue to do the same thing over, and I'm like, just stop doing that one thing and just listen to me. But I am learning that everyone's on their own journey, and waiting for the invitation is definitely a much more satisfying feeling, because as you said, people are actually tuned in and excited and want to receive that information, which is why I think coaching is great for me, because people are asking me, they're paying me to give them my knowledge and tools and all this stuff. So it's not like I'm just kind of spewing it out onto anyone around me. So it gives me a place to channel that, and it helps me to remember boundaries with other people and respect other people's boundaries. Not everybody cares about my perspective, and that's been a hard lesson, but I'm getting there.
I think too, you know, I mentioned being, right? Like, there's a spot of being for projectors. And I think there's this misconception too with that, of it's this spot of like sitting and twiddling the thumbs. And it really isn't. For projectors, it's really about what fascinates you in that moment. And, you know, what do you want to dive more into, and exploring those rabbit holes that I like to call. And for you, it sounds like you've explored a lot of rabbit holes. So you have this like huge toolbox of different things to help people with, which makes complete sense. And so being is the spot of fascination for a projector, and, you know, exploring those rabbit holes on whatever aspect that may be for you. And anybody else listening to this projector, that's really what it is. And so it's really spending the time energetically being with other people about 2 to 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, like every day, we don't want to go over too much of that, because what happens with projectors is they burn themselves out very quickly. We see burnout by the age of 30 if they're trying to live as a generator. And the other thing is with it is that there is the spot that projectors, I think, sometimes forget. And that is, if you're working 2 hours, it's like double what it is. And so what takes you 2 hours to get done takes me 2 to 3 times that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect and that ability is such a huge thing that all of our society needs to show us, that you don't have to hustle to make it.
Yeah. And I love that. I honestly experienced the worst burnout this last year, and I'm just barely kind of getting my energy reserves back and jumping back into work. But the year previous to that, I had my publisher reach out to me. They wanted me to write 3 books that year, 5 weeks each. I had a full coaching schedule booked, and I honestly just hit a wall where I had to take a huge step back. I stopped coaching for a while. I couldn't even write anymore, which writing is such a part of my like being. I've done it since I was a child. And I just allowed myself, I just knew I couldn't keep going. It wasn't enjoyable. I had hit that wall. And so I took a whole year and I traveled and I relaxed and I just had fun. And of course I had those fears creeping up of like, what about if I lose everything? What about if I lose my business? What about all these things? And you know what I found when I was ready to come back, everything was waiting there for me, perfectly aligned again. And that really just helped me to see that bigger picture of like, it is okay for me to take a step back and let go of that fear of I'm going to miss out on something, or I'm not going to be able to accomplish or have or do, because I'm not out here, as you say, living like a generator, you know? And so it's been a great lesson. And now I really realize, you know, even on my day to day, like sometimes I push myself so hard, like I need to accomplish this list of things. And then I realize, you know what? Even if I get three of these things done, I'm just going to give myself permission. When I feel like I've had enough, I'm not going to keep pushing to complete my list. I'm going to go through this list until I feel like I've had enough. And then from there, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing after that. So it is really true about the burnout, and I can really relate.
I think it's so important too with projectors to realize like there's no right way or wrong way of doing it either. A lot of us talk about the 2 to 4 hours a day, but I have projector clients that will work 10 hours one day and then they won't work for a couple days, or they'll work, you know, 2 hours those next couple days. So I think it's really finding that sweet spot for them and really figuring out what works best for them. And like for you, taking a year off and exploring and doing all these amazing, wonderful things really filled your cup again. And that's amazing and awesome, because then you know what that feels like. And allows you then to like, know, like, okay, this is where I want to be. This is what success feels like for me. So how do I create that now in my day to day?
It's been really eye-opening. So moving on, because I don't want to dominate this talking about my own energy type, as interesting as it is for myself. We still have one more energy type, which is reflectors, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, reflectors. So reflectors are 1% of our population. I always say they're like a hidden gem. And if you have a reflector in your life, it's like the most, it's one of those things where really be grateful for it, because like I said, reflectors are 1% of our population, and they have this way of showing us stuff sometimes we don't want to see and sometimes we want to see, because they literally reflect back to us what they are seeing, feeling, what the environment is for them. So if you have a reflector that's in their blissfulness, you know that their environment is great. And if you have a reflector that's not in that, you know that the environment they're in is not great. And so their strategy is waiting the lunar cycle. And so the reason they wait this lunar cycle is because as they correspond with the moon, and every single day, different gates open for them. And gates are those tiny little circles with numbers inside of them and on somebody's chart. And what it does is it allows them to move through the emotions, their motivation, their thought process, their fears, their energy, all of that that happens, who they are. And when they go through that entire moon cycle, those different gates open, allowing them to find the aspect of their answer, whether that is a yes or a no. And they really dance with the universe. They get nudges by the universe in different directions. And as they try to figure out what their answer is, they really get nudged in that direction based off of that. So their aligned place is surprised. And it's not necessarily just like what we think of being surprised. It's really this like happiness that kind of unexpectedly comes in for them. And their not aligned place or their not self theme is disappointment. And disappointment for them can also show up as like the blues, depression, sadness, that type of thing. And typically it goes back to they're not allowing for themselves to be very chameleon-like, and that's what they're made. They literally can go into any environment and adapt to it, which is so cool. And if they're just allowing themselves to stay in a box, that's going to make them those things come up. Or if they're staying in an environment that's not healthy for them, they're going to see that disappointment come up versus that happiness and surprise.
So fascinating, the reflectors. And then they have no fixed energy centers, basically, is what makes a reflector, correct?
Yeah. So all of their energy centers, those squares and triangles, are white on their chart. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they literally can feel other people's energies. They take it all in. And for them, alone time is so important to be able to kind of be in their own space, their own blissfulness. All energy types need alone time, but reflectors are the biggest one. And then I would say manifestors and then projectors. And that's that 30% that's non-generator sacral energy. That alone time is so incredibly important for them to really get back into who they are as an individual.
So when we are noticing according to our energy type, and on your website, which there will be a link for it in the information box, but you actually have a space where people can go and get their chart for free. I noticed when I was looking at your website. So anybody that is not sure what their type is, doesn't understand what we're talking about, definitely pop by her website, Kaylee's website, and check out where you can get this chart done. And you'll see more what we're talking about when we're talking about like these boxes and channels and all of that stuff. And you'll be able to learn there if you don't already know which of these energy types you are. So depending on our energy type, when we notice that we are experiencing, like in my case, that bitterness or anger or frustration or whatever, what is the best course of action for us at that point, would you say?
Yeah. So I always say, get curious with it. Curiosity is one of those things that really helps us bring in the awareness of where it's coming from. And so the moment we can get curious with it, whether that's, you know, a generator, a manifesting generator and frustration, I always say, like, go back to your pen. Like, do you like the pen you're writing on? Do you like the paper you're writing on? Do you love the coffee cup you're drinking out of? Like the simple things. For projectors, I always go back to, you know, if the bitterness is there, like rate it on a scale of 1 to 10 and where are we at? Because if you can catch it when it's like a 1 or a 2, you're going to be able to then course correct yourself faster versus waiting till it's a 10 and you're ready to like throw everything out the window because you're like in that spot of like burn everything down. And so really get curious with it. Where is it coming in from? Who are you interacting with? What are the things during your day that are bringing it up? And that'll lead you to that spot of like, this is where I'm out of alignment versus trying to, you know, a lot of times people wait until it's that 10 is what I see. And then they come to me and they're like, what do? I just want to throw everything out. I want to, you know, burn it all down. I'm going to move houses, like these big decisions. I was like, wait. Let's see if we can figure out where it started from. Where did it stem from?
Ah, that's wonderful, wonderful advice. Well, I thank you so much for sharing your expertise. And before we go today, can you please tell my lovely listeners where they can go to learn more about you? And if you have any special anything happening right now, or where's the best place for my listeners to connect with you? Because I'm sure people are going to be curious. I'm sure they're going to want to check everything out about you, work with you, all that stuff. So how can they go about doing that?
Absolutely. So Instagram is where I keep the majority of my content. I always say, go over to my Instagram page, binge it, because you'll find all kinds of wonderful things. And then they can always hop into my DMs. And all you literally have to do is say they heard me on your podcast and that I, you know, will give them feedback. I give live feedback right in the DMs, like send me a photo of your chart and I will tell you all the goodness that you need to know about your chart. That's one of the things I absolutely love doing because it allows me to geek out, which I said, you know, at the beginning, like I love geeking out about human design. And so the big thing right now that I have going on is I have a membership where human design is incorporated into that. We do a masterclass every single month. And on top of it, we have a ton of different modalities to help people stay in alignment. That's one thing I have found on my journey of being an entrepreneur, a mom, and a wife is that it never fails that there's sometimes where I just need to be able to go in and do breath work or EFT tapping or whatever it may be. Human design, of course, is my main thing and I love it, but there's also other things that help us stay in that spot of Zen. And so I've created a membership that does exactly that. And for your listeners, happy to give 20% off. We're actually running a free month already, so they can come in for a month and try it. And then they can get 20% off if they decide that that's where they want to be.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that. And again, all this information will be available in the information box and the show notes there to make it really easy for you guys to click over and check out Kaylee's amazing work. So again, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom with us today. I hope you enjoyed this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. I want to thank you so much for taking your time today and joining me. I know that you have so many options, and I am deeply honored that you chose to spend your time with me here today. I hope that the information I've shared with you goes to serve and support you in your everyday life. And don't forget to find me over on social media. You can find me at I am Kelly Bramblett across all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. That's how you'll find me. And pop over to my website, www.kellybramblett.com, just my first and last name, for a ton of free resources, more information on various self-help, personal development, and spiritual topics. I love you all so much. Have a blessed day.